And with that, hello, this is Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, I'm Sam Minter, and Yvonne Bo is with me. Hello, Yvonne.
Yo!
It is Tuesday, January 15th, 2013. We're doing it a day later than usual. Actually, it's we're doing this at least half the time now, doing it, you know, now instead of earlier.
Yeah, it's been, you know, the last couple of times for whatever the heck reasons, just the old time that we were doing just was not, has not been,
that. Well, we moved it from, you know, earlier on Sunday to, early Monday UTC, late Sunday night in the U.S.,
yes. Or
how late depends on which coast you're on, and then we've been doing it 24 hours later than that a few times recently, but you know, whatever works.
Whatever works. We've been able to get it together still. Okay, so I don't know how many years are we going now.
We're coming up on six, I think.
Coming up on six, right? That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it's a streak.
It's a streak. Yeah. So with a show every single week in that entire time period.
Yep.
Although, you know, there were a couple shows that were pretty short, but there were shows every
week. But there was a show. I mean, it may have been the slowest thing ever, but I mean, shortest thing ever, but it was a show as far as I know.
The shortest show was when, of course, my son was born. The show was less than 3 minutes long. But, you know, hey, it was a show.
Yes.
You know, and in our early days, we did a lot of like 15, 20 minute shows.
But yeah, we did.
Now we can't fucking shut up in an hour and a half.
I know, Jesus Christ. I don't know. We gotta. My God, we sure prattle on.
Okay, well, we got a few things on the agenda for today. One, I did get some feedback, some light feedback. And so we'll talk about that a little bit. I'll get into that in a second. Over one of our prediction shows, Yvonne talked about seeing one of the really cool, super high-resolution, large TVs, and I sort of poo-pooed it a little bit, but I've been thinking about that some more, and so I want to talk about it again. We've got the whole rigmarole of the rise and the fall of the Supercoin, and what other alternatives are going on with the whole debt ceiling thing, blah, 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 blah. I suggested on Twitter that if we need money, we just sell Alaska again.
Who could we sell it to? How much money could we get?
I don't know. You'd think the Russians would want it back, right? Because well, we bought it from them in the first place.
Well, let's face it, probably, you know, like, probably be like about at least $1 trillion.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we need right now, right?
That would be nice.
We'll talk more about that in a little bit.
I'll make a money calculation in a second. Hold on.
Yeah, okay, and then we got France went to war this week. Neither of Yvonne and I know very much, but
I was shocked by it. All of a sudden, I'm like, what? What? France went to war? What?
Yep. And then we have the whole thing with the White House and the Death Star. Yeah. Okay. Right. So. And Yvonne's like, I have no idea. Yvonne's been out of the country, so he apparently missed the whole thing with the Death Star.
Well, I went to Colombia. I watched no TV, read very little news. I was there for a short period of time. My wife is there with her family, like right now, and my kid, which it's kind of weird. I got home
and the house is empty.
Yeah, and it's like really, I'm like, oh, this is really weird. Oh God, this is weird.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, about, what could I say? I can't say there was a tech thing that happened on the way. I did get on the flight. They did give me like in business class, one of these, like, they have these Galaxy tabs for entertainment. Okay.
Yeah.
So what they got, I guess they junked the operating system. And
so it wasn't real Galaxy tab experience.
It's,
like if you bought one.
It's a Galaxy Tab 10.1, but it's not really the Galaxy Tab experience you really get, because it's got like they mess around with the case and they've put some really cheap looking thing on it in order to make the headphone jack and the power jack be out front. Not sure exactly why that is needed, other than. Then just because you place it on your table, like on the on the plane, so therefore, so that way you can watch. I don't know. Anyway, I didn't quite understand that. So that was one thing. But the other thing, I mean, the OS is not, it doesn't have the Android OS. It's got this application that's just for watching videos and entertainment on it. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You just fire it up and it goes straight into that and it shuts down. But, I mean, it's a tablet. I mean, I don't know. I used it. That's about all I can say about that. Oh, and I did get to, I hadn't used it at work. I used that global entry thing.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. The...
Which, yeah, so where I just scanned my passport and then put my fingerprints and I was instead able to
of,
go.
Instead of going through the big custom line?
Yep. I was able to do that and I was able to get in. They didn't do like somebody else I know that apparently got the, they confused his name at the airport and there was an Interpol warrant for somebody with the same name and they held him at the airport for 5 hours. Last week, until they figured out, oh, yeah, you're not the terrorist. Oh, we're sorry. We'll let you go now.
Yeah, you know, with all the traveling you've been doing, well, you used to do, Yvonne. I was continuously surprised that you didn't end up in Guantanamo. But
I did go through a background check, okay, and the whole thing. So, you know, they did know that I was not, you know, or they finally determined after the investigation I was not a terrorist. But the other thing, it was just, on the outbound flight, I did see they had these, like, you know, they put these checkpoints at the airport now that if you're pre-cleared that you can go through without doing all the take off your belt thing and whatever, There was nobody at that line. I mean, nobody. It was just completely empty. It's like, and I actually am pre-cleared for that, but I couldn't use it because you can't go with your wife. Unless she's already in the program.
Right.
You can't take your kid.
Okay.
So.
Anyway. Let's get started. So I got some feedback. And so I was actually exchanging email with somebody on a different topic. And then at the end, he just says, by the way, laughed my A off when Alex repeated your damn it on the podcast. So, you know, I answered him and, you know, look, I had the tape still rolling while I was doing the counting on the show the couple weeks ago, and you know it happens. He says stuff, you know.
That reminds me, when I was in Colombia, they told me like one of the kids over there went and the person goes and asks them. It goes and asks them, son, look. Tell me what's wrong in this sentence. The bear. The bee is large. What's the wrong word? He replied, son of a bitch. Okay. Oh, what's the bad word? What's the bad word? And he came back with son of a bitch.
Okay, right.
I don't know. So,
well, you know, the kids all sponge up everything that's around them, and we've talked before about swearing and the fact that, you know, hey, it's part of modern life. It happens. It's there. I mean, I'm not like I'm going to intentionally teach my kid to be a potty mouth and swear at the other kids in kindergarten, but you know, a damn it now and then when something happens.
Damn it, I can live with damn it. If I get the worst thing he says is damn it,
I'm sure your kid will say much worse than that.
Well, that's what I said. If I get the worst thing you would say is damn it, then I'd be like, you know, I'll become golden, but I'm not holding my breath.
So now then, you know, we did a little back and forth and I responded to that. And, you know, I was answering my email from my iPad. And so it had the signature sent from my iPad.
which I made fun of a little bit.
Yvonne just the other day was like, oh, I love that, you know, but, you know, and you know, so here, so he sends me an email back. Oh, by the way, this is Matt, a longtime listener.
Uh-huh.
Come on, man, you're savvy enough that you need to get rid of that. Okay. And so then I answered from my iPhone. I've always kept the one on my iPhone and probably will from the iPad too. I, of course, know how to change it. I've just chosen not to, sent from my iPhone. And then he responds again, annoying. Why should your reader care where you sent your email from? It's almost like you're doing advertising for free for them. Do you have
actually,
an Do you have an email that says sent from my laptop? I hope not. Done with my rant now. And then I responded, yes, I do, actually. Sent from my employer's MacBook. and he says, oh, Christ. But anyway, so I didn't really have that signature on my employer's MacBook. But it does bring this up. Well, first of all, of course it is free advertising. That's why they make it the default.
Of course. I mean, I remember I had this stupid Samsung Epix phone, and it said that on every damn thing. And on that phone, finding where to get rid of it was a freaking incredibly annoying pain in my ass. So I had that stupid signature for, I don't know, for a long time.
And so, look, I've never changed it on my phone. On the computers, I've always had a sort of, for decades and decades, it seems like, I've had a standard little signature, my email, my website, my name, that I put on regular emails when I'm sending from the computer. But I never bothered changing it or getting rid of it on my phone, and I haven't so far on my tablet. And because I was like, oh, you know, that's cute. It actually does serve a little bit of a function. Although some people change the wording of it, which is, you know, sort of, I've seen people change that to be things like, please excuse minor typos and blah, 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 I'm sending on a mobile device or something like that. So I could see that. But like, I just thought, you know, I was like, oh, I don't mind that. I don't mind saying that I sent it from my phone or my iPad or whatever. But, you know, I guess he's got a point. But I wanted to run this by you, Yvonne. What do you think of these things? Should I go in right now and kill that sig?
I think it's just silly. I just thought it was funny. But actually, no, I'm like, you know, whatever. I'm like, you know.
Like, I'm not really like, I don't feel like religious about it.
Like, for example, I don't know if you noticed, I have a signature for work. Okay. The reason I have a signature for work is because I email customers and stuff and so forth. So therefore I want to make sure that they, you know, they have my contact information. Okay. But on my personal email, I don't have a fucking signature.
You used to sign everything with something.
I had something incredibly silly a long time ago. And then like many years ago, I got rid of the signature altogether.
Right.
Okay.
Cause like, if they're getting your mail, they know your email address.
You should know who the fuck I am.
They know your name. They know your email address. So why is that in the signature?
Exactly.
And so like,
I mean, it's my standard redundant fucking thing ever.
The only thing in my signature that isn't obvious just from the from address is my website. And, you know, given that my email address is at ablesmay.com, that should be pretty obvious too. Although I guess somebody could think I had something else. I don't know. And I mean, I don't have my Facebook on there. I don't have my Twitter. I don't have Google+. I don't have any other crap.
Annoying. It's just noise.
So are you thinking get rid of SIGs entirely? Like they've outlived their usefulness?
For the most part, get rid of SIGs completely entirely. I have no signature. I mean, I signed because it is seen as impolitic and impolite for the most part to just not sign something. Okay.
Right, yeah.
So maybe I'll put down my name, you know, it's just my first name. You know, or maybe say regards or, you know, nice or something. But, you know, I mean, other than that, I fucking get rid of the whole damn thing.
Yeah, okay. And I can see the purpose sometimes for work signatures. If you were, like, adding your phone number or other contact information that's not obvious from the
email. I'm in sales. When I was not in sales, I did not have a signature for work.
Right.
Okay? Now, you know, when I was
in, I don't think I have a signature for work right now.
But I mean, but since I've been working in sales for such a long time, I mean, I've had a signature and, you know, made sure it's accurate, you know, with my address where they've, you know, for example, I mean, the address is paid off. I've gotten gifts for Christmas. They actually, I mean, I got some cool shit. I mean, I got somebody, overnighted me a key lime pie.
Oh, there you go. And it's probably a low enough level that you don't have to, like, report it and all this
stuff. Right. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just a simple gift. Right, exactly. You know, once that's fine. It's under, you know, whatever. And I'm not a buyer or something or whatever I could accept. Anyway, it's no big deal. But, you know, it's like, I mean, yeah, somebody sent me a key lime pie. Somebody sent me, like, a little, like, T-shirt. You know, stuff, little knickknacks, stuff like that. Yeah. I was like, you know.
That reminds me. And so finishing up the SIG issue real quick. So it sounds like your thought is just kill the SIGs everywhere. I will take that into consideration. I may do it. But yeah, I'm going to think about it for a little while. I'll leave everything intact for a few. So if anybody listening has some additional thoughts on why I should get rid of the signatures or keep them or make them something different, please email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com and let me know. And I'd be glad to hear that. But you know what you just said about the gifts just reminded me of something that, you know, and I make it a general policy not to talk about work, but this is, mm-hmm. this is a very general thing.
Okay.
I've been getting emails for a little while now bugging me that it is time for me to take my, I forget how often you have to do this, but it's like every two or three years or something, you have to take all these mandatory training things.
And oh shit.
I am due for the mandatory anti-bribery training.
Yeah, I gotta do that shit too, like right now. God, just thankfully I didn't put that on my list of things to do.
And look, you know, they have the bribery and sexual harassment and a bunch of other
things. They're going to train you how to sexually harass?
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah. And I think I don't have to do the others this year, but this year is the bribery year. And like, you know, I have been through this at multiple companies. I will say this, so it's not specific to where I work.
Yeah, everybody
right now
has the same.
Everybody
shit.
Has to do this shit. But you get this stupid little online training thing,
right?
Where you have to go through this thing, and they show you these little videos of these scenarios.
Yes.
Of like, you know,
I know they're all the same shit. I mean, lawyers and trading companies have made so much money on this fucking garbage. I mean, seriously.
So
it's like,
so the guy comes up and says he would offer you $500 if you buy stuff from his company. Is that okay?
If you answer no, the video is going to say, I think you need to study the scenario some more. Like, God's sake.
These things are so inane. And I realize that there's some like ass covering that, you know, you have.
It is. It's just entirely like, you know.
So you can't claim, well, I didn't know I shouldn't do that.
You know.
Really?
You know, your underling offers to have sex with you in exchange for a raise. Oh, well, let's see if the scenario is inappropriate. Oh, let me think. Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, it's just, and I've been putting this thing off and putting it off, and like, they keep sending me a reminder every few weeks, and then,
yeah,
like,
I know.
The other day, my boss at a meeting is like, I keep getting these notices that you haven't done your training.
I'm training.
Like, oh, damn it. Okay, I have to do the damn thing.
I know there is one that I've done most of these trainings, but somehow I've managed to slip through the cracks and avoided this one training for the last, like, I've been at the company 3 years.
Well, I asked this question, like, if I don't do the bribery training, does that mean it's okay to take bribes?
There you go. Ah, jeez. Oh, you know, look. Well, I know that one is I've just been through the cracks on this one. I don't know. I'm sure that somebody from HR is going to come up. Our HR manager, who I know pretty well, is going to come up one of these days and say, "I'm sorry, you're not avoiding this one this time. Get your ass in this classroom. Take this stupid class."
Oh, you actually have to go to a classroom?
There is one. No. There is no. Most of these are online, but there is one that they do like session. It's a session for managers that they actually schedule like regularly, like in different offices where they want me to.
Okay.
To actually go there, but yeah, no. The ethics one. This is all like the same thing.
And I'm pretty sure there's like only two or three companies that put out all this crap for everybody. I swear the little courses I've had at my current employer are almost exactly the same as what I had at two employers previously.
I told you it would have been a brilliant idea for us to do these like before. You realize the profit margin that the stupid courses have to have, for God's sake.
And you know, for a short time, two employers ago, I was actually working on doing online training stuff, so I had the right background.
Right,
but you know, oh well. went in a different direction.
I estimated, by the way, that if we Alaska, just oil reserves alone is worth $2.1 trillion.
Let's see, there you go.
If the oil reserves. I'm not talking about anything else.
In that case, I was about to take a break, but when we come back, let's go ahead and talk about, I was going to say fiscal cliff stuff, but it's not fiscal cliff anymore. It's the debt limit now.
Right.
And we'll talk about the coin and selling Alaska and other possibilities, but let's take a break and then we'll continue. Okay, so we have the debt limit coming up,
right?
And the exact so we officially hit the cap of the amount of debt we could have on December 31st, actually. But the Treasury is able to do a number of tricks of moving things around and shuffling things around to put off the actual date where they have no choice other than either to issue more debt or to default on some payments, sometime in February, it looks like. Probably the latter half of February, but it all depends, and they won't really know until closer. So there have been a number of things going back and forth on what to do here, and Obama has been... And he had a news conference earlier within the last 24 hours, once again saying he's not going to negotiate. He's not even going to have a single meeting with the Republicans. It's up to them. It's up to Congress. It's their responsibility. Fix it. You know, and so this is brought up, you know, well, what about the 14th Amendment? The 14th Amendment says the debt of the United States shall not be questioned. Doesn't that make just a debt limit in general invalid? That's one argument. And the administration... shot that down and said, we don't believe that is a way out a number of months back. And I can see that too, by the way, as long as there are other choices available, you don't have to necessarily question the debt you just have to not pay something. It means that when you do prioritize what to pay, interest on debt comes first. But then, you know, a number of people, including me, by the way, I've mentioned this many times over the last year. The idea was that there's a loophole in the law. So normally, let's little background. Way back in the day when the government wanted money, first of all, way back in the day, we had a gold standard. We had other standards. All money had to be backed by actual gold in Fort Knox or wherever, because it was when the government handed out a note, it was saying that, hey, you can exchange this at any time for the equivalent value in precious metals.
That's right. Yep.
And at the turn of the last century, there was at the end of the 19th century, there was a big thing on whether that metal should be gold or silver, but whatever. There was something backing it, right?
There was a physical asset behind it.
There was a physical asset behind it, and that's why you had places like Fort Knox full of gold. But that went away. Its final death blows were what, during the Nixon administration, I believe?
Yep.
And from that point forward, you know, basically, your government... The money has nothing behind it. It's all imaginary. The government can make more money as it wishes, but there are restrictions because the laws that were set up at that time, actually earlier than that, the Federal Reserve was set up as an independent organization with responsibility for controlling the money supply, essentially. So like even though the government theoretically could print money, mint money, whatever, the the policy-making decisions on that were supposed to be vested in the Fed rather than in the Congress or the president. Do I have that right so far?
Yeah, sounds about right to me.
So, and the basic idea behind that was so that the president couldn't just say, I want to spend more money, so I'm going to print some.
Right.
They put that decision-making body in this semi-independent organization, quasi-governmental thing called the Fed. But apparently, a loophole was introduced into those laws a number of years back when they wanted the Mint to be able to create commemorative coins. And so they added a law, and they were kind of sloppy about it, and said the Mint, the Treasury can mint whatever coins they want out of platinum in order to whatever denominations. Now, for other metals, like if they were going to make a coin out of gold or silver or copper or whatever, there are actually statutory limits of what they can do, how many they can mint, what denominations, whatever. As it turns out, they forgot to put any limits on when they defined the powers to do this for platinum coins. So the idea has been broached that, you know, if push comes to shove and the federal government can't borrow more money, that it could just the president could order the Treasury Secretary to mint a really high value coin, deposit it at the Fed, and boom, we have money to pay our bills.
Right.
And so what happened this last weekend was the Treasury came out with a statement that said they do not believe that is legal, and neither does the Fed. And the key part of that, as I understand it, is actually the Fed. Like, if the Fed would not accept the deposit, then that means that makes it much more – then that scheme that I just outlined is no longer possible.
Right.
So now there are a couple other possibilities here still. But, you know, basically the administration is ruling it out. And the reason they're ruling it out is that they want – basically, they want this train wreck. They want to say there is no way out. Congress, you have to do this. There is no way out. It's on you. Whereas if you did either the 14th Amendment option or the Supercoin or any of another number of other ideas that I will start bringing up and suggesting in a few moments, if you had any of those other things on the table, then it lets the congressional Republicans go in and say, we're not raising the debt limit unless you give us the concessions, and then go right up to the brink with the assumption that if you get there, the president will do one of these other things to keep us from defaulting. And then they can go after the president for an executive power grab and doing something crazy like minting a coin. And because, you know, that's just insane, right? It sounds crazy. And so that's why they're taking it off the table. I've seen a number of people comparing it to a game of chicken, you know, where you have the two cars driving towards each other and you see who veers off first. And it's like the equivalent of, you know, chucking the steering wheel out the window. You know, so and so I can definitely see that argument. On the other hand, like I said last week, I kind of wish he just said, you know, I'm not even having this debate. I'm done. I'm minting the coin, you know, next, you know, and forget this brinkmanship. But I think what Obama's doing here is instead, I mean, he's playing a game of chicken. He wants the Republicans to be the one who blink.
Well, I think that here, if he goes and does any one of these things, the Republicans are just going to say, aha, you see, here goes the profligate guy.
The spender, blah, blah, blah.
Spending us to death, blah, 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 blah. You know, the usual bullshit. All right.
And, you know, it's been pointed out, of course, that, you know, the spending has already been authorized by Congress in a completely separate process. This is just about paying for the spending that's already been authorized.
Exactly. Right. So that's the problem. I mean, and so all they're going to do is just, you know, try to, you know, it's a game of chicken. Okay. But look, you see, this is very different from what happened in the 90s. In the 90s, what Gingrich did was not authorize spending. Mm-hmm. They didn't period.
Right.
It wasn't the payment. They just didn't authorize any spending. That's why the government shut down.
Yep.
Okay. So we're talking about a very different thing here, where we're talking about let's not pay what we've already committed to. Okay.
Right. And one of the keys here as well is in many cases, the appropriations are actually mandates. Like it would actually be illegal, just as illegal for Obama to go over the debt limit as for him to not pay some of these things. It's not discretionary spending. It's not you're authorized to spend up to this amount. It's like you need to spend this amount. And in fact, there have been court cases that have taken that have said that, you know, the president actually doesn't have the discretion to not spend the money in many of these cases. And so, you know, it ends up, if we get to the debt limit, it ends up being a question of which law does Obama break?
Right.
You know, and so the, you know, does he go ahead and borrow money despite the debt limit? Does he not pay for certain things that Congress has mandated be paid for? Because that would be the choice, because the incoming revenue will pay for approximately 60% of the government, what the government is obligated to spend.
I think that I will tell you something. I think that the best option is just to just do a government shutdown as we've done before. And, you know, we don't default on the debt. We just basically, I mean, the president just says, well, my hands are tied. You know, everybody go home. I mean, I don't know.
Well, and
Social Security checks don't go out. The moment that let me tell you something. You know what the shit storm's going to fucking like hit Congress? Let me tell you something. If they do it and no Social Security checks go out, you know what? Let me tell you something. They're going to go up to Congress. They're going to fucking like, you know, fucking like beat the shit out of the Republicans.
Well,
okay.
And I've read some things in the last week that actually say because of the automated mechanisms that exist, it may actually be hard to. Like right now, all of the bill paying systems, there are two. So paying off debt is separate than paying off bills. So they could prioritize paying debt first. They could certainly do that. But within paying bills, all of the automated systems are set up to pay first come, first serve.
Right.
Because that's how it's always been. There's never been any reason to do anything else. And there's no mechanism in place to actually do the picking and
prioritize.
Like, because, you know, this is, you know, people automatically submit their invoices, they automatically get paid, blah, 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 blah. So there's a question of exactly how do you do this logistically? Like, because what, you know, because the prioritization type kind of stuff is what you expect to happen. You expect for the government to say, okay, first we're paying off debt. Then we're paying off Social Security. Then we're paying military. And then if we have any left, which we might not, then we'll start picking off some other things. So that's one possibility. And there's some question about if it's even technically feasible. There's some question about is it legal. But that's what the expectation is. If we hit that limit, that's probably what would start to happen. Now, part of the, you know, now let's talk about options. Like, if we actually got to that point and the Republicans decided, you know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to agree to anything unless the president really does come to the table and do something. And the president holds firm and he doesn't do it. And basically no agreement. And you and I are both on the record of saying there'll be a deal.
Am I imagining things, or have I not seen the Republicans go and actually offer something?
They have started to offer something, but they are still saying that they expect a certain amount of things coming back from Obama, and Obama has said, I'm done. I'm not talking to you. Whatever you're going to do, do it. I'm not talking to you.
So I like the strategy so far. I mean, I don't know what the hell anyway.
So far,
I mean, and I get what he's doing. He you know,
and he's potentially
he wants to disassociate the negotiation on the deficit from the debt limit. Period.
Yes. And potentially he's also dropped some hints that he's going to be asking congressional Democrats in the House to not cooperate either, so that Bonnier has to pass it without Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I don't know. We'll see that, because the way that all of these have come together in the end the last few times is Bonnier, basically the Democrats have ridden to the rescue of Bonnier, and you've gotten something passed with almost all the Democrats and a few Republicans. So we'll see. But like, okay, so other options. If we actually have both sides standing their ground all the way to the end, which Yvonne, both you and I have said we don't believe is going to happen. We think a deal will be made. But if we get there.
I think that in this case, we may go over it. Because,
that'd be fun. So let me talk about the options. Let me get to the end of this sentence. Mm-hmm. So one that's been talked about is, okay, the coin's off the table. The 14th Amendment is off the table. The one that's been talked about most seriously is do what California did when they hit this situation last year, which is basically issue IOUs. Script, it's called. But that basically says... we're not creating new debt because we already owe you this money. So we're not creating new debt. We're not affecting the debt limit. But here's a piece of paper saying that as soon as we get congressional authorization to spend this money, to pay you, we'll pay you. And what happened in California when they did this was essentially banks would redeem these for cash. And hold them, and then get the money.
I've seen this happen in other places. This happened in Argentina. Yeah, they did that. Yeah.
So that's one possibility: is that things keep running, but the government essentially starts issuing IOUs instead of money, and then the banks float the difference. The banks take these IOUs, and figuring that they can wait until the government's ready to pay. Now, that's the one that's been talked about seriously. So now let's talk about some of the less serious ones. One is, you know, what I mentioned before when we talked last week is forget about the Fed accepting these coins. Just pay the damn bills with the coins.
Just start printing coins.
Just start minting coins. You don't have to, like, do a $1 trillion coin and deposit it with the Fed. Start minting $10,000 coins, $100,000 coins, $1 million coins, and pay the bills with them.
That's a plan.
Issue people's tax refunds with the damn coins.
Jesus Christ. I think they're going to go over, but it's only going to be for about a week or so.
Yeah,
probably. Okay, or two.
I think just
enough to induce enough pain on both sides for finally somebody to come down and say, we've had enough.
I know, but let me speculate on the fun stuff for just a minute. Even if you don't. So, like, and let me step back a little bit further than that. Like, the whole reason we don't do this kind of stuff is
complicated.
Well, yeah, but look, it's also it's to insulate people from the reality that money is imaginary. That money is made up, and the only value of money is that other people agree that there's money, and in the end, the way it works right now, when the Fed when we do raise the debt, the Fed buys stupid bonds with money that doesn't exist and therefore creates money out of thin air. This is no different, really. And really, you know, you've just got a whole bunch of layers of indirection to keep you from really realizing that all of this money is being made up out of thin air unless you really study this kind of stuff. But, like, the government tomorrow could say, not only will we not issue any more debt ever, we won't do taxes. There's no reason to do taxes. We don't need to get your money. We're just gonna print coins. Change the law. You can print real money. You can inject money into bank accounts. Whatever. You can say, you know, the government owes you money. The government will increase your balance in your bank by this amount. Done.
You kind of like that plan. I wish I could do that. I could just, you know, like right now I'll go.
But I mean, if you actually strip away all the layers, the actual effect on the money supply and on the economy and everything else should be just about the same. The whole thing with the government borrowing money and doing taxes and all this kind of crap is a holdover from the day when there was a gold standard and it had to be backed by something. Now that it doesn't have to be backed by something, the money government could just
That's not totally true. The reality is that the reason why you're trying to maintain a money supply that's out there, the amount of bills that is growing in certain proportion with like the growth of the economy. Okay, all right, or a sustainable rate to the size of what our economy is.
All of these
basically, and it's a product of the goods and services, whatever value we ascribe to them. If you just start printing money willy nilly, say for example, the economy grows only like 1 or 2%, but the growth of our currency grows 10, 15, 20% every year. What's going to happen is you're going to have major inflation.
Well, right, but the thing is that is actually the same kind of effect you'll have from moving the money around in different ways. It's just more directly obvious
obvious. It's a lot easier. I mean, it's more under restrain because, right, I mean, yes, you can go on inflation a hell of a lot faster there isn't a check and balance between what the size of the economy is, taxes that are collected, and how much money we're spending out.
And that's really what it's about, and that's really
what it's totally about.
You know, the control of the money supply was taken out of the direct hands of the government and given to the Fed for exactly this reason. Because if the president and Congress could just pay for whatever they want by money they made
up, print currency like nonstop,
and then you'd have out of control inflation.
Exactly. And I mean, even the Fed, like right now, really takes money out all the time.
Right.
I mean, that's part of what they're doing, or they're putting money in as required. Okay, that's what they do.
Okay, so other possibilities here. Oh, hi, Alex. Welcome home. So I'm talking to Yvonne right now. So you're gonna play with Amy and Mommy for a little while. Oh, I'll play with you in a minute. Oh, I'll see you soon. Okay, bye. Okay. So where was I? Okay, yes. The other possibilities here. I may have skipped something. I don't know. My brain went. But
that's okay.
We mentioned selling Alaska, but more seriously, selling assets in general is a possibility.
Alaska, a few trillion bucks. I figure we could get.
So I'm thinking though, but also, you know, we mentioned gold in Fort Knox. I did some math
there's
and looked.
There's not a lot there.
There's about 300 billion.
It's not a hell of a lot.
No, but we were talking about minting a trillion-dollar coin. It's a third of the way there.
I guess. Yeah, but it's not a hell of a whole lot. I mean, think about it. Our budget's like a couple of trillion bucks. I mean, 300 billion is nothing.
It'll give us a couple months.
Eh, that's about it. Yeah.
You know,
you want to just go and like flood the gold market. Basically,
offload
$300 billion in gold at once. I think the price of gold would go down.
Yeah, maybe. But how about the strategic oil reserve? How much do we got in there?
That's a good point. I think we got about 200 million barrels. So like 200 million, not a lot of, like $20 billion, maybe.
Yeah, okay, that's not that much.
Yeah, not that much.
We could sell off some national parks.
What do you want? Sell off the national parks? All of them?
There's actually a petition at the White House to sell off Mount Rushmore for this purpose.
How much money do you think we could get from Mount
Rushmore? You'd get that
I don't
much
think
from
we could get more than a billion or two. With you. I mean, that's even on the upside. I mean, let's face it. The only value that Mount Rushmore would have is value of how many tickets you could sell.
Here you go. Sell off the nukes.
I mean, that's about it.
Sell off the nukes. I bet Iran would pay good money for some of our nukes.
I was just reading a little bit ago how, you know, they're saying our nukes are getting old and stale and whatever. I guess maybe, you know, putting them off on a sale.
Highest
auction
bidder.
Them off on eBay.
Highest
there you
bidder.
Go.
Yep. Absolutely. Highest bidder. You know, you want a nuke. I want a nuke. We all get nukes. You know?
We all get nukes. Home nuke protection. You know, there you go. Forget about guns. We'll just get nukes.
There you go. See, I think, you know, and you start adding these things up, you get that $1 trillion pretty quick.
Yeah. Sure, no problem. Yeah.
I'm guessing there might be a problem that to sell certain kinds of assets, you might need congressional approval.
Oh, you think maybe?
I'm thinking.
I mean, I don't know. Start selling the B-2 bombers.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think I'm guessing. I could be wrong here, but I'm guessing that Obama could not unilaterally sell Alaska.
I'd probably say no.
On the other hand, maybe California.
Well, that would get a lot more money.
Yeah.
I would say this. Now, you know, the thing is that I'm sure that the way that they would execute, I mean, some dictatorship would probably, then they just, you know, put, you know, cut the budget and, like, solve all their problems in 2 seconds.
Yeah. Okay, so and I don't know. There are some other wacky ideas out too, but I think we've covered most of the wacky ideas.
I think I am
sticking by my prediction from the prediction show last week that, you know, this crisis, as with the sequester crisis a little bit later down the road, will get solved. You may be right that we go over it technically for a couple days. I think we won't even hit that. Like, we technically went over the fiscal cliff for like 48 hours, but then we retroactively undid it all. And I could see that potentially happening again, but I think they might come to something even before we get there, because you're already starting to see signs of the Republicans squirming.
Oh, let them squirm, fucking.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's take a break. We'll come back. I've got a couple more things, and then we'll wrap the show. But a couple more things coming up. Enjoy your break. Okay, here we go. So
do you have any idea why Facebook keeps recommending me half-naked girls as, like, friends that I have no common friends with?
We've talked about this before. It doesn't matter that you don't have common friends. You like half-naked girls, so...
Well, I do like half-naked girls, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, not for nothing, but, you know, I just, anyway, all right. At least my wife knows a little fucking, like, she saw this the other day. I was like, going, I'm like, who is that? I have no idea.
Oh, so what you're telling me is this is actually just an elaborate cover story, and you do know these women.
Well, here's the thing. I don't, actually. I'm, like, looking at the fucking name, and I'm like, going, I'm looking at these names, and I'm like, going, what the fuck, like, Facebook keeps popping them up. Oh, would you like to see this girl? Would you like to be friends with this girl? And I'm saying, it's a girl in a fucking thong bikini, okay? All right, that's in the profile picture, okay? And I'm like, going, I don't know her. If I would have known her when I was single, believe me, I would have fucking remembered this broad. I'm telling you, I have no idea who she is. So I don't know. I don't know. Anyway.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about the TVs real quick.
The TVs, yes. The TVs. I mentioned the 4K TVs.
You mentioned that looked awesome, and I was like, look, I have a big screen projector. It's 1080p. If you sit at a normal distance from it, you can't see the pixels. It looks fine. Why do you need something higher? That is roughly what I said. Now, I've been looking carefully at my projector since I said that. Okay. And I'll tell you, if you're paying close attention and you're not on, like, a picture of a person, but it's like showing words or graphics, you can see the pixels if you pay attention. Okay. Oh, yeah. Even sitting like 8 feet away from this thing. Now, I have a massive, huge screen that covers most of a wall. By the way, I said it was floor to ceiling. That was an exaggeration. It's like the bottom's like about 2.5-3 feet off the bottom, and it's...
Well, I get it, but it's big. It's a big size.
It's a big size. So, you know, 1080p, in the end, you know, most computer monitors are higher resolution than 1080p at this point. An iPad is higher resolution than 1080p. You know, 1080p is not all that in terms of resolution. And especially if you're at bigger sizes, you can tell. And so then is the...
Let me give you an example. I have a very small Samsung 13-inch high-definition TV, okay? And 480p on that looks
awful.
Awesome.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Right. Okay, yeah.
I mean, it's fucking, like, the detail of the images is incredible. Yes, because it's only 13 inches.
Because it's not, the detail's not really there, but it's small enough that you can't tell.
Exactly. Right.
And I think you have the same effect. Like, I think you are hitting overkill on some of these resolutions, but at the same time, I look at, you know, the iPad effect of going Retina and the difference between a non-Retina iPad and a Retina iPad. You don't think it would make that much of a difference not having seen the Retina one yet, but once you see the Retina one, you're like, oh my God, this is so much better.
Right. Right. I know. I did the same thing. Yeah. When I went to the store and I grabbed it, I'm like, damn, You know,
And I think you will see the same thing with televisions, but you still have the chicken and the egg situation with content. Like, even now, like, if you have a 1080p television and you pay and you're paying attention and you notice these things, you realize that, you know, there's still a lot of content out there in SD. There's still a lot of HD content that's only 720p. There's only a few things that are really 1080. Mm-hmm. And even then, depending on how you get your content, unless you're using a rabbit ear to get in a local local signal, your cable or satellite provider is compressing those things further. Yes. And so even though you have 1080p, you have got compression artifacts and other things like that going on. So you're still – and you can tell the difference, by the way. Like, even if you don't even if you don't do the rabbit ears, if you hook up a Blu-ray and watch a Blu-ray video and compare to what you usually see on your TV through your cable company on a normal show, you'll realize, oh, this is what full 1080p looks like.
Right.
And there really is a difference there. I'm not saying it won't get here eventually, but right now you don't even have a situation where your standard cable providers can consistently and routinely provide 1080p uncompressed content, for most things. And they dial up and down the compression, by the way. So, like, if you're watching, you know, a highly anticipated sporting event, it'll be...
Oh, yeah, they uncompress it. They dial channels and will look a lot... Yeah, a lot better than
they'll
it does
dial
normally.
Down the yes. compression to a minimum. Whereas, you know, if you're watching, a channel no one gives a shit about, the chances are they'll dial.
Oh my god, that channel will suck ass.
Right. Even if you're watching a 1080p show, they're going to dial the compression way up, and it'll still suck. You know, and so okay, these 4K televisions, we're talking about a lot more resolution, a lot more bandwidth. And so, yeah, you can get the kick-ass TV with this super high resolution, but the content's not necessarily going to be there to support it for a long time. You know, I mean, because the same thing is true, by the way, not just your cable company, but when you're downloading it from Apple or whoever to buy your content online, same kind of thing applies in those situations as well, or if you're streaming through Netflix or whatnot. It'll get there. And I do at this point see the appeal. Okay, I will not deny that if you had an uncompressed 4K signal image, it would kick ass on a decent television that was able to show it, even if you're sitting far enough away that you can't see the individual pixels all the time. It would be cool. But I think we're away.
No, we're away from there. I mean, I will admit, I saw they had that damn movie on uncompressed on that 4K screen in that damn room.
Which, okay. By the way, is the one place you can actually see these. Like, a lot of the digital projection systems at movie theaters are 4K or above at this point, too.
Right. But still, anyway, I mean, the one thing is that even you're in a movie theater, I mean...
It's far away.
It's a big screen. I mean, you're further away from it. I mean, this is, you know, this is just this nice little room with this. And it's, I was like, damn. You know, I mean, let's face it. I mean, when they blow it up at 4K at a movie theater, I mean, it's a lot bigger than this. I mean, I don't know. This is just cool. I thought it was cool.
So,
but no, I'm not getting that.
At some point, I'm sure I will upgrade to something higher than 1080p for my television / projector thing. But it'll be a while till the content catches up. So I don't think we're talking this year, next year, or the year after. But a few years down the line, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm like, right now, I'm like, I have, my TV is 6 years old. I like it, but I would like to get a new TV at some point, but I'm just...
And it certainly
I don't want to spend, I mean, I spent the money on so much other stuff, like right now,
I'm
not spending money right
now. I mean,
now.
I'm definitely where I was basically. Like, look, my 1080p, even blown up super, super large on a projector screen... still looks really nice. You know, and you have to really pay attention to notice pixels. Only on certain types of content. You'd never notice it in, like, a picture of people walking down the street. The only time you'd notice it is, like, certain kinds of graphics. And it looks fine. And so I'm happy for now. I'm not rushing. And, like, to a certain degree, it's an indulgence to get a higher level, like, resolution. It's like, what, yeah, this is good. How nitpicky do we have to get to need more than that, you know? But yeah, but I do understand. Like, if I could only have a 1080p for my computer, I'd be pissed. Because I use that resolution all the time on my computer. Yeah, so.
No, I know. Yeah. But oh well. Anyway, but anyway.
So anyway, moving on. We're getting close to our hour, so let's take a quick break, and then we'll wrap this up with the Death Star in the White House and maybe a couple seconds on France going to war. We'll be back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, here we are. So, a couple seconds on France going to war. France went to war. Do we have anything else to say? France is intervening in a war in Mali. And they're also, they took some actions in Somalia to try to rescue somebody who was kidnapped. It didn't go well. But both the Americans and the British have done some support for these operations, although we're not directly involved.
Yeah. But you know, do we know why they fucking went to war?
Well, yeah, because the Islamist rebels from northern Mali were making an offensive going south to take over the capital.
Oh, okay.
And so we intervened to push, or we, France intervened to push back that advance. And now the, one of the questions that's open is, will they stop at pushing back that advance, or will they move forward to try to actually retake northern Mali, Mali for the government?
How many people in Mali? 14 million people? It's a big country.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see how long this intervention is and whether it expands and et cetera.
Yeah. You know, we were talking about minting a trillion-dollar coin. The entire GDP of Mali is, how much you think?
A trillion? Yeah.
A trillion?
A billion?
Now you're closer. 10.6 billion.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, we fucking spend this on one afternoon. Not even. I mean, yeah. We don't even need that long. Let's see. We spent $3 trillion. So that's $3 trillion a year. So what does that turn into? 365? Jesus. What the? It's factor 10. Fuck me.
See, this is when we need your kid to come in and repeat what you're saying.
Oh, for God. billion. I don't know. I can't do the math.
Too confusing, but
I think we outspend them in a day.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
It's yeah. Well, and that's not the government's budget either. That's the GDP. So
right. That's what I'm saying. I mean, our budget, we outspend them in a day, basically. Yeah, we spend more in a day than they make total.
So anyway, if the situation there continues, then I guess both Yvonne and I will have to read up on a little bit and figure out what's going on, because I honestly, you know,
we honestly know nothing about it. That's reality. So now, after we covered that, what the fuck is this thing with the Death Star? What the fuck are you talking about?
So, you know, the White House has this petition site where anybody can create a petition to the White House, and you know, we want the White House to do this. We want the White House to do that. So there was when people were talking about seceding, there were a bunch of petitions at the White House to let Texas secede and stuff like that. the White House has a policy. If any of these petitions get 25,000 signatures, they will respond to the petition.
God, okay, so.
Okay, so And so they've responded to a bunch, and they'll actually respond to the petition within 30 days of it getting 25,000 signatures, is what they say. So they've actually responded to the ones about secession. They said something along the lines of, you know, the Civil War kind of settled that, and we live in a society where if we have differences, we can figure them out. We don't need to do that. They responded to a petition suggesting that anybody who signed the petitions to secede be deported. And they said we weren't going to do that either.
Okay.
And there are a bunch of these that, you know, some of these are more serious, like, you know, asking for the president to outline their policy on medical marijuana or something like that. And then there was a petition to that the White House needed to secure resources and funding to begin construction of a Death Star by 2016.
By 2016?
Yeah.
Wow, it's pretty fast.
To begin construction by 2016. And so this, of course, got the requisite 25,000 signatures. So the White House needed to respond. So earlier this week, the White House responded to this. And if you search on White House Death Star petition response, this will come right up in Google. So they responded with, "This isn't the petition response you're looking for." And then... I'm not going to read this whole thing, but this is classic. You guys, you got to go read this if you haven't already seen it. So the beginning of this is, "The administration shares your desire for job creation and a strong national defense, but a Death Star isn't on the horizon. Here are a few reasons. The construction of the Death Star has been estimated to cost more than $850 and then 15 zeros.
Yeah.
Dollars. We're working hard to reduce the deficit, not expand it." Bullet point number two, "The administration does not support blowing up planets."
Oh, that's a lofty goal for this administration, I gotta say.
Bullet number three, "Why would we spend countless taxpayer dollars on a Death Star with a fundamental flaw that can be exploited by a one-man starship?"
Oh, that's great.
And then it goes on. But that's the funniest part of it. You guys should all read this.
I'm gonna after we're done, I'm gonna go like sit down and read this carefully because this is hilarious.
Yeah, so the rest gets a little bit more serious. But the beginning is like, you know, just classic. And, you know, a lot of people have pointed out that these whole petition things are kind of a waste of time because the White House never changes policy because of these. Sometimes they've had to say something about an issue that they didn't really want to say something about. Or like they had to say something about gay marriage before they wanted to, or about marijuana legalization, which isn't their top priority issue. And they basically, like, if it's an issue they want to talk about, they make a, you know, detailed, serious statement. If it's an issue they want to avoid, they answer something vague without saying much.
I think if people are really interested in something and they want an official response different than the standard line or something that maybe they're not looking, I mean, you know, what the hell? Why not?
I mean, the way I look at this is there are a number of people have said this, a waste of time. The administration shouldn't be doing this. We got to get rid of these stupid petitions, blah, blah, blah. I think it's actually a useful, interesting instrument. I mean, you're not going to get policy changes because of it. You're not going to get like the super thing, but it provides a mechanism of two-way communication directly with the public. And I think it's cool.
I think it's cool.
And if every once in a while you get an answer like this out of them that's worth a laugh.
Well, at least it'll make me laugh.
You know, cool. So, that's it.
All right, we're done. We're out.
Thank you all for joining us once again on Curmudgeon's Corner. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com to tell me what I should have as my email signature, if anything, and to give me questions.
I vote for nothing. I vote for nothing. Kill all signatures.
Kill all signatures. See, and here I thought you were going to say, yeah, I should have a signature about sending Yvonne money or something.
Well, I mean, if you want to, yeah, I mean, no problem. I'll give you the address.
But
actually, not even the, you know, no, I wouldn't give out my bank. I get all fuzzy about bank account numbers. Then, you know, I figured out that, you know, they do these things where they ask for your PayPal donation and the account number. Look, just as easy as you deposit the money, just as easy you can take the fucking money out.
Yeah, so there are actually a number of things. Like, if you want to take internet donations, there are tons of ways you can set that up.
Right. Okay. I'll make sure I set up I'll set up a donation site. Perfect.
Yeah. Set up a donation site.
Just put it on your
site
signature.
Yeah. Exactly. But seriously, if you have any questions,
you know, it would be hilarious if people start donating to.
You know, a number of people have done this, and actually, one of the topics we didn't talk about, but like Andrew Sullivan has decided to like go independent and take voluntary. Yeah, he's going to have a slight paywall, but take money, blah blah blah, donations. And there are people who like help finance their sites or their endeavors online with little donation boxes. Wikipedia does it. The reality of these things, though, is that unless you are a big nationally well-known brand, you're going to get jack. Maybe you'll get, you know, $20 a year if you're really lucky, you know? So it's not like you're going to make a living off it, or you're not going to, you know.
Fuck, really? You're telling me this ain't the answer to quitting my job?
Yeah, you know, as much as I think, you know, the 25 to 30 listeners we get a week on this show, on a good week, you know, would all pony up, you know, a few thousand dollars to help us produce this show every year.
A month.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right. Okay. But, well, then we'll keep doing it for free. We're okay.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, hey, if anybody does want to give us money,
anybody wants to send any money, I'm like, you know, we'll take anything.
We'll take it. You know, I was gonna, you know, order a new computer this week, actually, probably. And
yes, if you want to send a brand new computer, send it to Sam.
Yeah,
know,
yeah. Send me the cash so I can pick the computer. But yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, yeah. That's a good plan. There you go.
Cash. Yeah. Cash is good. And if you want, I will not object if you send it to me all in Susan B. Anthony dollars, since we were talking about coins. You know, or Sacagawea dollars.
How much is Susan B. Anthony coin weigh? I mean, I don't know. See, I mean, so if it was send you, like, say, like $4,000 in Susan B. Anthony's, I mean, God, that's got to be heavy.
Yeah, although the what are the new ones? They had Susan B. Anthony, then they had Sacagawea, and then now they have the ones with the presidents on them.
Right, but yeah. You know, so let's see, well, how much is it weigh? Let's
see. About like a quarter.
8.1 grams. What the fuck does that mean anyway? I don't know.
Anyway, we're send us your comments.
Oh, Doris, I know what the hell it means. I'm such an idiot. So if I say 2,000 of those, 8.1 grams. Shit, that's heavy, dude.
Yeah.
It's 16,200 grams. Fuck, that's a heavy load.
It's not that heavy. 16,000.
It says here, 8.1 grams.
No, but 16,000 grams is 16 kilograms is about 30 pounds. That's not that heavy.
Well, that's pretty damn heavy to be going over to the store and paying with 16,000 grams.
Well, it's not like it weighs like a car or something.
It doesn't weigh a car, but I'm sorry. You go over to the store, you're going to bring some 30 pounds worth of coins. Oh, here you go, sir. I think that they may look at you a little bit askew.
Askew?
Yes.
Wait, you said it was 16 kilograms?
Yes.
Okay, it's actually 35 pounds. Sorry.
It's 35 pounds?
Yeah.
I think that somebody showing up with 35 pounds of coin at the Apple store, they may be a little bit like put off by that.
Hey, it's better than showing up with pennies.
Yes,
we're done here. We're done here. Tell your friends to listen. Tune in next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.